Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call W2TTT. Okay, nothing heard. That's a good thing. Good evening, everyone. Again, this is Gordon W2TTT, and welcome to the Bergen County Amateur Radio Emergency Services Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 MHz, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. The repeater is operating on 146.835 and uses a PL of 151.4, 151.4, with an offset of 600 kHz, minus 600 kHz, pardon me. Purpose of this net is to have an exchange of technical information and training opportunities and operational opportunities for amateur radio operators interested in providing support for served agencies, which would include the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, the Red Cross, Skywarn, the Salvation Army, Army of Mars, or the Mars program, I should say, or any other served agency of that meets your needs, including your local OEM, CERT team, etc. This is generally not a traffic net, although tonight we will be taking messages for status if anybody has any status messages to report for their locality for the upcoming COMEX or communications exercise with Army Mars, with Mars, I should say, pardon me. Alrighty, let me break. Okay, check-ins will be first by stations who have ARRL appointments of any kind, and you'll check in with your call sign, your name, your locality, and of course, whatever position you might hold. Stations, do this in a call sign group order just to make it a little more orderly. Stations with call signs beginning in Whiskey, please call W2TTT. Okay, stations whose call signs begin with the letter November. Okay, stations with appointments who have call signs beginning with Kilo.
Yes, this is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta, Bob in Park Ridge.
Good evening, Bob. Gotcha. And I got you all squared away. Amazing how the autofill on my email or Outlook is exceptionally helpful for this. All righty, very good. Any other kilos?
Kilo Thule Mouth X-ray Oakland.
K2LAX, gotcha, John. Any other kilos? I hear another station breaking in, but they're not holding it. Try again, please.
K2, GRW, Kai.
I got you, Kai, in Dumont. I'm assuming you're in Dumont. All right, any other kilos? Okay, stations with call signs beginning with Alpha. Alrighty. Any station with or without an appointment, please call W2TTT at this time.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra.
Good evening, Randy, in Washington Township. I have you. Any other whiskeys, or any other call sign, I'm sorry. Okay, I got WA2ISC Bob, and who is the station who said the word question?
W2NG.
Good evening, Tom, in Paramus, W2 November Zulu. What is your question?
I was confused, had to listen at the beginning, on the usage of the word ARRL appointments. I the impression that appointment meant that one was a native or voted in individual carrying some kind of official credentials from the ARRL. If you could clarify that for me, I'd appreciate it, Gordon.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, we'll answer that after we're done with the roll call. That's a good question. Okay, thank you, Tom. Any other seconds for the net?
Net control. This is Kilo Delta 2, Kilo Alima, November, KD2KLN, Essex County Aries, and the Big Apple NTS traffic net.
Alrighty, Brian, got you. Welcome aboard. Any other stations for the net? Okay. Net recognizes KD2BKD, KQLAX, K2TRW, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Whiskey Alpha 2 India Sierra Echo, W2 November Zulu, Kilo Delta 2 Kilo Lima November, and N2FWI, who just jumped in the car, and Whiskey 2 Tango 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 is your net control. Are there any other stations? Alrighty. Let me do this at this time. Answering Tom's question, I did ask for stations with appointments first and then others, and I think that kind of broke down, so I think in future I will not ask for stations with appointments first. There's no real point to that, and it'll just slow things down. If you have an appointment, feel free to reference it. That's number one. Number two, ARRL station appointments are everything from emergency relay stations for traffic, official emergency stations for regular folks, emergency coordinators for municipalities, functions, and/or localities that are, you know, intermunicipality. We also could have DECs from other areas or other functions, as indicated by the section emergency coordinator. And then we also could have things like technical consultants and things like that, PIOs, public information officers, things like that, just to name a few to come to mind. I forget what the volunteer council program is, but that is also, you could say your volunteer council if you would like, and all manner of things. I think there's also a volunteer engineering position as well, which is very similar to the volunteer council program. But and then of course we have our elected officials, section manager and their appointees, other appointees, section emergency coordinator and the like. Of course our section manager, our division director and vice director and assistant directors and things like that. Any of those would be appointments, and either individual or station appointments. We're fairly flexible that way. In any case, I did send out a couple of emails today reminding people that we are looking for COMEX statuses. Are there any stations who would like to provide a COMEX status at this time? Please indicate that you have a status. And that's fine. I have solicited one from John and 2EVD, our RACI's radio officer, as he is the one tied to the county OEM, and I think that information should come from the county OEM, although if you have a municipal status, you're welcome to provide it. Just FYI, I'll be providing, or John will be providing, or his designee will be providing that status on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on 146-835, and if other people have statuses they'd like to provide to me in advance, that's fine. Or you can do it directly if they will take municipal statuses directly. I'm not sure they will, but you're welcome to try, but just do it in an orderly manner after the county statuses are gathered on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Purpose of the COMEX or communications exercise is a quarterly interoperability exercise where the each county in New York and New Jersey sends a status to MARS in the second area. and they collect that and they do with it as they see fit. But the bottom line is it is a simulated exercise in no power, no internet, no telephone. So the assumption is that you're operating from some form of resilient, recoverable electronics that you've protected from impairment, and that you've managed to operationalize with alternative power and no internet. Having said that, you're welcome to send me your status via email if you so desire. That'll be fine for the moment. For the purpose of the exercise, it'll be fine. But it'd be great if you actually were operating from emergency power, et cetera, et cetera. You should indicate so in your report. All right. I think I've answered Tom's question. I've answered the Calmex question. So we'll now go to the roundtable, and everybody can get a chance to say what they will. I suspect people have some things they'd like to discuss. KD2BKD, your message, if any. W2TTT.
Yes, this is KD2BKD. I have no traffic tonight.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Bob. K2LAX, John.
Roger, I just have a question on the COMEX thing. Are you looking for active reports? In this case, I would say all good and WinLink capable. Over.
I can note that. I can do that. That's good. And that's under emergency power?
That's correct.
Thank you for that. Any other status you'd like to provide?
A negative, that's it. No further traffic. K2LAX.
Very good. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Kai, K2TRW, W2TTT.
This is Kilo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Did you want the report at this time? Looks like you got a lot to go over.
You can send it to me separately if you've got a detailed report for your municipality.
Negative. No report at this time.
Okay, very good. W2S, Randy.
Thank you. No traffic this evening. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra back to net.
Thank you, Randy. WA2ISA, Bob.
This is WA2IC. No traffic other than some incoherent rants, which I'll spare you. Back to that.
Appreciate that, Robert. Okay, very good. W2NZ.
W2PTT. I give you an operational report. At this time. Operational as battery backup and also SLC. So all those things being considered, there was a traffic.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, very good. You know, when we get done with this, I'm going to go through a quick second run through to see if anyone is not battery capable or not alternative power capable. I'll leave it at that. KD2KLN.
Hi, this is KD2KLN. I do have a question. During the COMEX exercise, if we're supposed to be simulating an outage, how come we have to report actual data, in which case we'd be reporting that everything is normal, including electricity, yet I would somehow be indicating that I'm operating on emergency power, which sounds confusing.
Maybe in your locality you're blessed enough to have power. I mean, I'm not going to judge the structure of this exercise, okay? I can do that offline out of session, and we can exchange rants, but your point's well noted.
W2NZ with a comment.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I would, in my case here, I have power. The reason why I reported what I reported is in the case of an outage, I do have battery, which I'm operating under now, but I also have, which I forgot to mention, power generation that I could utilize as well. So, that being said, I think that might clarify it, unless I'm indicating some incorrect statements here, answering that particular comment by Brian, KD2, KLN. Back to you, Gordon.
Battery, and you have generator available. Fine. Brian, do you have battery and generator, or just one?
I have a battery and solar panels. I have a generator, but I haven't gotten it to start yet.
So I do recall. I will make note of that. So let's take real quick. Battery, generator, solar. You have two. Tom, do you have solar?
Negative, Gordon. Maybe we'll work on that together one time soon. Back to you.
No problem. Okay. KD2BKD, battery, generator, solar?
Well, I have solar charging. I don't think it has enough current to run a radio, but it'll charge batteries. I have a generator, and I'm running on battery right now.
Okay, very good. So, yep, that's fine. Simple battery, generator, solar, whatever you have, just let me know. That's all good. And charging is sufficient. That's understood. K2LAX?
Roger, all three.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a running theme for most of us. Kai?
W2TTT, I'm currently on battery. I have generator. Generator is semi-offline. It takes me about 10 minutes to get it set up. But after that, I do have, once the generator operates, I will have about 2.5 kVA to my disposal. Back to Matt.
Received, and you have no solar, correct?
Repeater system.
Negative, I have no solar at this time.
Thank you. Randy? W2S from W2TTT.
W2S, yes, I have battery and generator only. Back to net.
Thank you very much. W8ISE?
All I have here is commercial power. I haven't found my handy talkie yet, but I haven't really been looking either. So I don't really have any emergency capability. Over.
Case you have no handheld radio or battery capable radio.
I have an HT, but I have forgotten where I put it, so I gotta find it.
Okay, so be it. All right, well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Any last comments or concerns for the net this time? All righty. Just a reminder that there's some good training opportunities you can find on the Bergen Racy site. You can look there. And also, you can also find that there's a Red Cross Amateur Radio Club meeting on Monday, which is out at their Fairfield location at 7 p.m. And lots of good training is available from the Red Cross for free. So you might consider becoming a Red Cross Disaster Services Communicator and or other, maybe a shelter operator or something like that. You're welcome to do that. Or whatever interests you. We should be seeing some Skywarn training coming up in the next few months. That usually comes around April, May, June. And then finally, I believe next month the Red Cross is running... No, pardon me. Well, sort of the Red Cross, but it's at the... Through the county, there will be a technician class, a licensing class, Friday night, Saturday and Sunday in March. I can get you those dates. If you know somebody who would like to get their ticket, this would be an ideal opportunity to study and get their license, so be aware of that opportunity as well. You can always use more amateur radio operators joining their ranks. If anybody has not filled out an FSD 98, just Google ARRL FSD Fox Sierra Delta 98 and fill it out online and just email it to me. That would be great. And we'll make sure we have an appointment for you. If anyone's interested in being the emergency coordinator for the locality, either the town or in a group of towns in their area, please let me know. We're looking for people to do that. And any last comments for the net before we secure? All right, I want to thank you all for a nice concise net, and we'll see you at the tech net at the top of the hour. This is W2TTT securing station and returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. See you in about 7 or 8 minutes.
NJ2BS, repeat.
N2YNU.
2YNU, we'll see you in a couple of minutes, W2TTT.
Yeah, long time no hear. Yeah, I got a comment regarding generator bonding.
Okay, we'll see you in a couple. W2TTT will start the TechNet in about a minute. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, that's a good answer. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is run weekly on a frequency of 146.835 megahertz, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York. The PL is 151.4 hertz, and the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. The purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural arts and sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby, talk about what we do, what we've done, and what we aspire to do, of course what we never want to do again, that's my favorite subject by the way, things we never want to do again that we've done. And then, of course, it's an opportunity for self-op or wanted items. So feel free to chime in with any and all of those things.
NJ2BS, repeat.
We also would appreciate that you wouldn't just sandbag, that you would actually check into the net even if you don't have anything to contribute, because it makes it a lot easier to contribute, you know, in a way that will be resonant to you. If we know you're there, but if we don't know you're there, it's kind of hard to scale the net to your expectations. The other thing is we may find that under certain circumstances you're a wonderful resource that you didn't imagine, and so we would like you to do that as well. So, before we go into the general check-in, I want to see if W2JEK is on frequency. So I'd like him to go first. W2JEK, do you have any announcements for the net? Please call K2BAR. All right, well, it was a valiant effort. Alrighty. But anyway, truth is, folks, I'm mobile, and I figured that Don was there. He could make his announcement and give me a chance to make a transition from the mobile to the shack. But no worries. My magic laptop and I are here, or actually not laptop, but a tablet are here, so we're good to go. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale or swap item, or some combination of things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, moving right along. Stations whose call signs begin with Kilo.
WTTT.
No comment.
Okay, the station who said no comment, go first.
Kilo 2 Lima Alpha X-ray.
Okay, John, very good. So no comment from you, no problem. All right. Any other Kilos?
Yeah, this is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta, Bob, no traffic.
Okay, it's 4 to 2 Devils, so you'd like to know. And turn that down. Thank you, Bob. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Kilo Lima, November.
And Brian, your intentions?
I'm just going to listen.
Okie dokie. Any other Kilos?
Kilo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey, Kai, with one question.
Gotcha, Kai, with one question. Gotcha there. Let's see. Alrighty, any other Kilos? Okay, Novembers?
November 2, Yankee, November Uniform.
And your name, sir?
Roberto.
That's right. Thank you, Roberto. And you had a comment, yes?
Yeah, just a statement regarding generators, power supplies and all that good stuff that we rely on in an emergency communication scenario. I got, just something for everybody just to look at when they do have a generator and they want to employ it into a manual disconnect.
Okay, we'll talk about that shortly. Any other Novembers? Okay, Whiskeys?
Whiskey 2, Mike, Sierra Alpha, Noel, and Hasbro Kites.
Noel, what are your intentions, Noel?
I will be monitoring.
Okay, welcome aboard. I don't think you've accessed the NIP much before. Very good. Any other Whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, comment.
Gotcha, Bob. Very good. Any other Whiskeys?
W2TKE, Frank, just stalking.
Thank you, Frank. Any other Whiskeys? Okay, so far I have K2LIX, KD2BKD, KD2KLN, K2TRW, N2YNU, W2MSA, WA2ISC, and W2TKE. Any other stations for the net? Okay, very good. All right, well, let's get on with it. Kai, your question, K2TRW, K2BAR.
K2BAR. K2TRW. Yeah, my question is actually a carryover from the last net. Gordon, you had indicated that you may have dates for the tech exam at Passaic. So if that becomes available, if you could share it, that'd be great. I have someone in mind who may be ready to try his hand at the test. Back to that.
Somebody with a shared address?
Affirmative.
Most excellent. Yeah, I'll get that to you. I don't know the exact date. Maybe someone on the net does. Does anybody know when the, I guess Dave Everson and company, Bill Kelly and such, from the Red Cross, are running a technician class over, I believe, at the Passaic County Training Center on Oldham Road. I'm just curious if anyone knows the dates of that. I'll see what I will do. We have an email group, as you know, the ComTech group, and I believe you're on it, Kai. But I will I will get that information to you. I'll put it on the contact group, okay?
Much appreciated, thank you. This is Kilo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Back to that.
Very good, and just a general observation. Stations on frequency, we have a Yahoo group. It's a closed Yahoo group, so it tends not to send you junk. It's called Comtech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike Tango Echo Charlie Hotel Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa Comtech Group, all smushed together. And we use that for offline communications, other documentation, etc. I encourage people to participate in that. We might be moving to a .io group in the future, but we'll see. I like the controls over there a lot better, and I'm not a big fan of Yahoo for a whole lot of reasons, and I'm wondering if they're going to even support groups in the not-too-distant future, so we're looking at migration strategies for that. Alrighty. Roberto. By the way, just a comment. I think you're in Bergen County as well as Noel. And feel free to also join the ArriesNet at 8:30 in future. If you're interested in Aries, just shoot me a note at AWRL.net. That would be fun. And to YNU, tell us about generator and cutoff switches and all the good stuff that goes with that. WTTTK2BAR.
Hey, Gordon, I just wanted to make it to your fact that you got a lot of hum on your signal. I don't know what it is. But basically, a lot of people don't realize that when they buy a home generator, and there are disconnects or manual switches that can be employed by wiring it directly into your system, that there is a problem that they don't actually produce or let know to the public the fact that there's a GFI signal in there, and there's a little bonding element that needs to be removed on most generators that are going to supply a manual transfer switch, so to speak. And they don't advertise it. So look into it on your generator, the fact that if you do have one of those situations set up, that you remove that bonding screw so it won't act like a GFI. That's it. So, Gordon, back over to you. You do have a severe hum on your signal. And to YNU, with the group.
Okay, let's try this. Is my signal clean now?
I think someone was doubling with you and that noise was
Okay, so my noise is still there, but someone's doubling with me?
Negative. You sound fine now. Before, when you were transmitting, I think there was another station you were keying up at the same time.
I see, okay. All right, well, at least we solved that problem for now. All right, thank you. So Roberto, just curious, this is a bond on the generator frame itself that has to be lifted, otherwise you'll trip your GFI in your house. Is that what happens?
Exactly. By OSHA standards, you have to have that bonding. It's probably only about an inch long that bonds the neutral to the ground casing. And if you don't remove that and you plug it into a transfer switch, a manual transfer switch, it's going to automatically trip that GFI that's on most modern generators going to shut it off. So you have to know about that in order for it to, to work.
I see. Okay, that's good to know. At home, what I normally do is I simply run a line to my refrigerator if the outage is more than about 6 hours. And I run a distribution that's apart from the house. I just basically run a cord inside, you know, with it. I did hear, along that line, I did hear some very funny stories from somebody in Louisiana recently, that the way someone steals your generator is they start up a lawnmower next to your generator, they cut the power to your generator, roll it into whatever they're using as a getaway vehicle, and off they go. And because you still hear the generator running, you don't think about it. Of course, my question is, would you notice the lights dropping all of a sudden? But maybe not. But in any case, I thought that was hilarious because you still hear the generator running. The other thing I heard is that in more than half the cases where this occurs, that it's someone goes into your own garage and gets your own lawnmower to provide the noise to cover the disappearance of your own generator, which I think is hilarious, but anyway. So you do have to need to create a way to secure your generator should there be an issue. Be aware of that. In my case, my generator is not readily removable from where it is, and I'll just leave it at that, but it would be manifestly inconvenient for someone to roll away with it quickly. In any case, anybody else have any thoughts on generator safety and or usage in an emergency? We're coming into that wonderful season again.
K2TRW has come.
K2TRW, and there was another station, but Kai, you go first.
Okay, my limited experience with transfer switches is I have a APC, they call it Universal Transfer Switch, that I installed myself a few years ago. I believe that was just in time for Sandy. And what it is it's a microprocessor-controlled, like a little sub-panel. It looks really complicated, but I priced it out, and it was comparable to manual transfer switch, so I figured, why not? But the point being that the installation manual is very specific in saying that you cannot have any GFCI or AFCI devices in the circuits that they control. Maybe this has something to do with it, maybe this does, or maybe just coincidental. I just thought that was interesting. Back to them.
Yeah, so let me think about this. So the circuits you back up cannot be GFCI enabled. So, for instance, kitchen circuits, their kitchen outlet circuits typically, for instance, are GFCI protected. Those would be circuits that you would not be able to support, correct?
100%. That's my this N2YNU, and that's exactly what the other station is stipulating. Yep. But it's the only way that OSHA will concur to the fact that they can sell those generators. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's true.
Okay, so we have. So Kai, how does your? I take it you have a permanently mounted generator that auto starts and runs off of natural gas.
Negative. I have a sub-panel. The sub-panel is fixed, but I have that. I plug into a. I plug into a. Deep panel, and I have a small inverter generator that I plug into that.
I see. So when the inverter generator is energized, it then switches those circuits to your generator automatically.
What happens is when I lose main power. And it detects a generator plugged into the generator port, it'll automatically switch that generator and will disconnect from the mains power. When mains power returns, it waits a certain period and then it automatically switches the loads to the mains power.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay, but because you don't have a generator online all the time, you're basically, if you lose mains power, it will switch to the backup and wait for a generator to appear.
That is correct, meaning that when I lose mains power, all my circuits, even those ones that are under control, go down. Now, having said that, I do have small standby UPSs powering, for example, my network equipment. But yeah, that's all down until I plug in the generator. And it also, when the generator is plugged in, it also waits for the generator to be stable before it switches over.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Okay. Oh, very good. Well, thank you both. Anybody else have any comments?
Control.
AL0Y, go.
Just checking into Ryan's AL0Y mobile right now, but I think less than just 5 minutes, maybe.
Very good, Ali. Welcome aboard. Anybody have anything you want to add to this topic of the generators and GFI and other such fun things?
Yeah, and to YNO. Yeah, it's a fantastic fact that if you have an automatic transfer switch, you don't have to worry about those things. But a lot, you know, especially during disasters we've had locally in the past, a lot of people are buying generators. And they need to be aware of the fact that once they do install a manual transfer switch, it's not going to be an automatic thing. You physically have to pull the generator out and put it into position into the proper spot where it's going to vent out, have the proper twist lock 30 amp or whatever it might be twist lock plug, and know that the fact that the generator companies that are selling you, Honda, Generac, I can go on and on, they, OSHA rules that the fact that they have to be bonded for commercial use. So let's say you want to use that generator to utilize power for power tools or whatever, it has to be protected by that bonding unit that I explained earlier. And it will not work if you have a manual transfer switch employed in your house. And a lot of people are getting ripped off for the fact that they think their generators aren't working right. All it is a cover. You pull it off, remove that little bonding screw, drive a ground rod in somewhere around there, and bond the casing of your generator, and you're off to the races. You got sub power. That's all I'm saying, Gordon. Over to you. Into Wyandio.
Yeah, that actually will apply even for an automatic transfer switch situation such as Sky's. It'll trip under those conditions. So, yes, I understand. Anybody else? Okay, any more from View Roberto on this one?
I just love the fact that there is a possibility for everybody to have clean power, backup power. Just have to know what to do to acquire it and to utilize it properly and safely. That's all. There's a lot more involved with it, but it's a good subject. Gordon, 73, great net you got going over here. On that note, I'm going to say 73. I'll be QSY. Thank you. Thank you, Gordon.
Okay, next subject I'd like to bring up, and thank you, Roberto, is the subject of LinkedIn and whether or not you should list that you're an amateur radio operator in your LinkedIn profile. And it will vary according to, I would think, whether you have a technical or non-technical background, but it might also, depending on how your community activities are and things like that and how you want to reflect that on your LinkedIn profile or on your Facebook profile or any other social media, whether it's professional or otherwise, you may or may not want to convey that. I'm just kind of curious as to what people think about that. Now, what brought this up is that amateur radio has been a significant rationale and driver for why I got the job I did and how I got the job and what is able to bring to the job and such and such and such and such. So I've been very fortunate. I'm playing for a living, and over a period of time it just become more and more and more of that, which is a beautiful thing. But I noticed the other day, and Bob, you're going to get a kick out of this, that I noticed that my profile was read by various people, and it said, by a test engineer, and it didn't say what firm, but I, you know, I said, gee, I know who that is. It's Bob. So Bob had read my LinkedIn profile. I was able to, you know, infer that he had done that, and I had not actually mentioned that to him until now. But in any case, I guess it's a good thing, and it really caused me to reread my LinkedIn profile and realize just how much it needs to be rewritten. But that's a whole nother conversation. But I'm kind of wondering, do you or do you not put amateur radio in your LinkedIn profile or other social media profiles? And do you actually maintain one even on QRZ? I'm just kind of curious. So, anybody want to comment on that?
L0Y, comment.
L0Y, sure.
Personally, I don't use LinkedIn, but I do have QRZ and also on Facebook. I do list that I'm an amateur radio breaker. So far, I didn't really get any negative comments about that. On my Facebook anyway, but I can say that some people, like when I talk to them at work about meeting an amateur radio, most of people don't even know what that is, which is sad. The other comments that I sometimes got, which was a little bit negative, I should say, people think that ham radio breakers are just like speaking a fish and they speak to it. So I would say to professionals, you may want to refrain from putting that, I think. Because it was excellent.
That's interesting. Yeah, obviously it's actually proven to be an advantage for me and continues to be so. But, okay. I'm just curious. The other related task or question to that might be, you know, maybe we need to put it in a more modern light. It's not your father's amateur radio or your grandfather's amateur radio. And maybe we need to reflect that in how we use it for social outreach. I mean, most of the folks here have some sort of, you know, external influence of amateur radio in aspects of the community, whether it's through volunteerism of one form or another, or by mentoring people, or just by becoming more of a human Swiss Army knife. Ham radio operators tend to have that, you know, capability of being a little more resourceful than the average. Not all, but on average, more resourceful as a community. And that's been observed by any number of people. So, Bob, I called you out a little bit. KD2BKD, was that in fact you who looked at my LinkedIn? K2BAR.
Yeah, this is K2BKD. Yeah, I have looked at your LinkedIn profile. Not so recently. I looked maybe a month ago or so. I don't recall. I do not put that I am an amateur radio operator or have a ham radio license in my LinkedIn. I don't do Facebook, and I do QRZ. I have a page on QRZ, which I put some of my projects on. But I do have groups that I follow on LinkedIn of, I believe there's an amateur radio group on there, which I follow, and I also follow a CERT group there, but, yeah, it probably was me, and it wasn't that recent, it was a few weeks ago or months, but that's it, back to, K2BARNet.
Yeah, I'm figuring it's about 3 weeks ago or more at this point, but that's correct. That's awesome. Okay. Very good. But it was kind of interesting. I was able to surmise who it was because of the, it didn't say who you were. It just said what you did, and I went, I know who that is. That made me chuckle. Very good. I'm thinking that, you know, that we need to accomplish two things. One is, if we're going to put it up there, it needs to have some context that shows, shall we say, a modern touch. It can't be, you know, the troll in the basement with the Morse code key, you know, talking, in Morse code, or, you know, breaker 19, how copy kind of mentality, CB mentality, you know, what's your 20 mentality. It's got to transcend that. Otherwise, it would not be appropriate for a professional, context. But, you know, when I think about it, in my case, I'm probably a little different than most. Although, looking down this list, certainly, you know, I'm just going to pick two, Bob and Kai, just because I know you well, and probably Frank, now that I think about it, you know, all have backgrounds where you actually can apply your things you learn in amateur radio to your day job, as it were. But even for people who don't have, you know, different kinds of jobs, business is like seeing that you're out in the community doing things, and, you know, that's one of their employees doing good things in the community, and companies generally like that. So it's a good thing. But I know I've done everything from regulatory work in amateur radio, but I've done regulatory work at work because of it, and vice versa. So it's as one example, I mean, I'm a member of the NRL's interference electromagnetic compatibility committee, which includes things like interference, and I've done filings for my employer through our legal department to comment on FCC dockets and the like. And similarly, I've supported certain NRL initiatives related to electromagnetic compatibility, and still do every day. So it's all good. So anyway, anybody else have any comments on this topic?
Keith, can you hear this comment?
Sure, Kai.
Yeah, since you called me out, I might as well disclose. For folks going on social media, for example, Facebook, the one reason why I have my call on there is you hear the thing about being in Facebook, you have access to all these different worlds. Well, once you list, at least for me, once I list my call, I have access to all these other secret or unless the groups that you have to, you know, actually search out for. They basically will look at your profile, and if you have a ham license, they let you in. So it's something that if you don't disclose it, you never know about. But once you do, all these doors just open out of nowhere. Back to that.
Boy, that's true, and that's been true for me professionally. I've been active in the development of packet radio before there was AX25, and we were playing with Vancouver Protocol, Vancouver boards, and other such things, and then subsequently with AX25, and then with the Rose Network, and putting IP on things as well. Using KNIQ code and, frankly, other software, which I found to be useful as well. All sorts of networking protocols and network management, that kind of stuff. And it was interesting to me, and I ended up having a few lunches when I was working outside the company down at Bell Labs, just talking to people, just letting them know how we did
how we were doing layer two on over radio, and they were fascinated by this and, you know, what we learned and how we learned it and where it came in useful professionally, because I was working for another company at the time where we were using the protocols, the various sliding window protocols for various things. And I won't bore you with the details, but they were fascinated with that. And then a year or two later, the consulting company I worked for later said, would you like to work at Bell Labs, but you need to know somebody. And I used those guys as a reference, and they were happy to provide it, and I ended up working in a different shop. But you have been there 30 years since then, so go figure. So you never know what door is open for you. And that's not a bad thing. I actually include my call sign in my professional signature at work, and no one says boo. No one dares says boo. They're pretty happy with it too. But as I said, ham radio operators tend to be human Swiss Army knives when compared to the vast population. So we do a lot of different things, and we're also blessed that our hobby allows us to communicate enhancements to each other. In other words, it's not like a knitting circle where we have to get together and show each other how to knit. We can do that, but we can coordinate that, or we can do it over the air, you know, in real time, and using the fundamental medium that is the core of our hobby, which is somewhat unusual. You know, I guess the closest thing you could do is if you were an auto customizing group, you could drive your car over to another guy's car and compare notes and work on cars together. The car being the common medium, similar to our radios, but I think the radios are a little less, physically inconveniencing, as it were. Anybody else have any thoughts? Okay, so the object lessons that I think are that you might consider putting it on your profile. It's good for your community outreach, if nothing else. It's good for showing that you have intellectually stimulative activity. You must communicate that your ham radio activity is not your grandfather's ham radio, even if you do it in the most terse of forms. Use high-tech terms for one third form or another. That's all good to go with that. And you're not a yahoo or some crazed person. Anyway, I think that'll go a long way. Alrighty, next topic is Bob. You had a comment. W-A-2-I-S-C, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, W-A-2-I-S-C. I guess two comments that we must have been at Bell Labs simultaneously back around 1992 or so. But I told you about that in person, like I had to watch him tell, but I don't have to get into that now. Also, in a similar rant, I was just annoyingly frustrated by the confidence that I've run into by trying to use web services by large corporations, like namely a health insurance company that seemed to rig up their website, so it was not obvious that I had to go in and change some settings to keep my recurring billing up to date. Wondering why are they telling me my insurance is going to expire? I thought I had recurring charging. And also other companies, like somewhat similar vein, the people at that company just don't seem to know what to do other than just the basic fundamentals, like how to take your credit card to do a purchase when you buy something. But none of these things have much to do with ham radio, so I think I'll end it at that point. Over.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, I started at Bell Labs as a consultant in May of 1987, and they made me a full MTS. They converted me on September 1st of 1994. But needless to say, I've had a blast, and
based on my review, I suspect I'll have a blast for another year. despite any downsizing that may occur,